morning. Welcome to everybody. I will remind those who have not been here before that we are being televised, computerized, I guess. There's a camera on us, and we're being streamed live. So I just want to make sure that you're not doing anything that you don't want somebody to know about. I'm Paula Wolf. I'm chair of the board, and we will begin our meeting with a roll call, please.
Governor Kaplan, Secretary Schneider, Chair Wolf,
here.
Director Darcy,
here.
Director Dodson,
here.
Director Gonzalez,
here.
Director Peterson,
here.
Director Reddick,
here.
Director Sweeney,
here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Director Banks couldn't join us, and Director Wiseman called this morning and said he's not feeling well, so we got me on the chair. I have one public comment form so far, and I'm about to get another one. So I don't know which order you want to do this in. There's Steve Donner and also Senator Overweight. Do you have a preferred order?
Yes, we'll let Steve go first.
Okay, great. Thank you. If you wouldn't mind coming up to the podium up here. You can come up here and then you get to be seen by the whole world.
I don't like when people read presentations, but in order to stay on point and on time,
I'm going to do that today. My name is Steve Donner. I've lived in Chicago for about 30 years, and I currently commute about 120 miles a day between my home in Wheaton and my office in Hammond, Indiana. I'm a former Illinois chapter lead for the National Motorist Association, and I've been working closely with Senator Oberweis on Senate Bill 2356, particularly as it relates to implementation across the Chicago area. I also have an 18-year-old son and a 20-year-old daughter, and I'm concerned that the 55 speed limit that we have in the metro area places them and others who would like to obey the law in danger, more so than if they blend in with prevailing traffic speeds. We have the limit in the area primarily because of the national speed limit that was established in 73 and then repealed in 95. Today we have an opportunity to post realistic speed limits that could increase highway safety, and I strongly believe that the board would be negligent, and I hate using that term because it seems extreme and impolite, but I really do think it's the right word. To not
other people have stood at that podium and used more impolite.
Thank you. To not move forward with considering this seriously. Here's why. Transportation engineers around the world have almost unanimously advocate posting speed limits based on the 85th percentile rule, which is explained in a presentation that I sent around to all of the board members. If you haven't seen it yet, it's in your mailbox here. I also have a handout which is much more concise. It's probably made its way around by now. I'm not going to speak from it, but it's from the Institute of Transportation Engineers, and it explains how this method works, why it works, and the dangers of not using it. And specifically on the dangers, they say, quote, drivers traveling significantly faster or slower than the 85th percentile speed are at a greater risk of being in a crash. We think the 85th percentile speed in Chicagoland, when gridlock is not affecting the flow, is at or above the statutory maximum of 70 miles an hour. This is intuitively obvious to a lot of commuters and can be proven relatively easily. In fact, one of my colleagues is doing some speed studies right now. I'm going to join him after this meeting, and we will report back later. In view of this, we hereby urge the board in the strongest possible terms to do whatever studies must be done to formally approve higher limits across the area. We think this means 70 on all the tollways, while slower limits may be appropriate closer to the city, especially inside the city limits. In view of the danger of actually driving 55 on area roadways far below the average traffic pace, the tollway and IDOT are putting our children in harm's way. Young drivers fresh from driver's ed, for the most part, eventually learn to go with the flow, like most of us have, but some may learn this lesson too late, and I don't think anyone here wants that on their conscience. So please, please, pay attention, listen to the science, understand what the facts say, and try to put aside the voices of special interests who make money from ticketing and insurance surcharges. Highway safety should come before revenue. Thank you.
Jim, did you want to...
It's working okay, hopefully.
Yep. Well, thank you, Madam Director. Thank you, Board, for allowing me a couple of minutes to address what I think is a very important situation. You're all aware that the Illinois legislature passed a bill allowing the speed limit on Illinois tollways and interstates to go to 70 miles per hour everywhere in the state. No limits, no restrictions. It didn't just pass. It passed 44-6 in the Senate and 85-30 in the House. Veto-proof majorities, large majorities. The will of the people is pretty clear. And to be honest with you, the reason I came this morning is I'm feeling a little frustrated that there is bureaucratic pushback to implementing the will of the people. And I'm here to ask you to move forward to implement this January 1st, which is the law. I'm particularly concerned about the indication that you are not following the directive for I-88, that you're not following the directive for 355 or for 294, and I ask you to take another look at this. Now, when I have met with the director, the indication that I have gotten is, well, the board sets this. I can't do it without the board. I just want the board to be sure to understand that this is the law. There is no restriction. All tollways, by definition, are not a part of any urban area, so it is clear that in the law, the speed limit should go to 70 miles per hour unless, for some reason, you find a reason not to do that. Let me give you some reasons that you should do that. Clearly, traveling on tollways or interstates is safer than traveling on two-lane highways or four-lane highways throughout the state of Illinois. Anything we can do to help move the traffic onto our safer roads, our tollways, and our interstates helps in reducing traffic, helps in reducing accidents and fatalities, which I think we all agree is a very important objective. Now I'll mention a little less important objective, but maybe you'll consider it as well. Bringing more traffic onto the tollways also increases revenue for the tollways. So that is another win, and I would believe that if we have speed limits more in line with what the traffic is traveling, people will not feel like they're being bad people and committing a crime by traveling at the speed that most of the traffic is going. Right now, people face a real problem. Let's say you have a teenager and you're teaching them to drive. The speed limit on the tollway is 55 miles per hour. What do you tell your teenager? Well, everybody's breaking the law and going 70 miles an hour, but don't break the law, go 55. Oh, by the way, I don't want to tell you, my teenager, that if you do that, you're taking a greater risk of causing an accident and being in an accident. All of the evidence indicates that going less than or more than the 85th percentile by 10 miles an hour or more is more likely to create an accident and cause fatalities. So if you follow the law and you go 55 miles an hour, you're more likely to be in an accident and cause an accident than if you break the law and go 70 miles an hour. That's just plain wrong. That's why we passed the law. That's why the law got such a huge majority. And I would ask you to please consider that. Set reasonable limits so that people can abide by the law rather than break the law. Regular breaking the law isn't good for anybody. It just breeds contempt for other laws. None of us want to see that happen. So I ask you, please give Christy LaFleur the authority to raise the limits where it makes reasonable sense. All of I-88, all of 355, and I believe 294, if not 70 on 294, perhaps 65 on 294, or something that would make reasonable sense. Thank you very much for giving me the time. Thank you for the job you do. I know sometimes you have a difficult task, but I'm asking you to consider this very carefully. Thank you.
Thank you. If you can wait just one second.
Sure.
I want to make sure if there are any questions that you were there to answer. Anybody have any questions or comments on this? We have had one presentation by the staff. We appreciate the information that you've given us, and I know that a letter has gone to the various members of the board and it's being responded to. We take our responsibility seriously, and we'll absolutely look at what you've given us and review this decision. And as you say, we all want to make sure the same thing happens, that our roads are safe, and I know that the troopers also feel strongly about that. So we've got a lot of information that's coming from different quarters that are helping us make this decision.
Thank you. I mean, it just seems like a logical win-win. You allow people to obey the law, you reduce the traffic risk, and you raise the... I shouldn't say win-win, it's a win-win-win, a triple win. The two sheets that I passed out, by the way, one is entitled Interstates Are the Safest Roads. You'll see that clearly it is safer to have traffic on our interstates and tollways than it is on the side highways, not just in total, but also in miles per mile traveled. Secondly is a little chart that shows reducing the speed variance, not being more than 10 miles per hour above or below the traffic flow, also helps to provide the lowest level of risk for causing accidents. Thank you again very much.
Thank you for coming, both of you. Appreciate it.
Incidentally, I'm going to be meeting this afternoon also with some of the other members of our transportation committee with the director to talk about this further and review it, so I'm hoping that perhaps you can give her some further direction before our meeting this afternoon. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? If not, we'll go ahead. I think everybody has received a copy of the minutes. We revised this. One of my agendas say that we're deferring it to the December board meeting, and another one doesn't. So.
I think we're deferring.
Are we? Okay.
Marlene?
Are we deferring approval? Well, let me ask the directors. Do you have an opportunity to review them, or would you like to wait until December?
I'm okay. Good.
Anybody want to wait until December?
I think we need to wait until December.
All right. Let's do that.
That would be our...
We will defer them. Then there have been two committees that have met since our last meeting, so we could get reports from the chair. Director Peterson, if you would start.
Sure. The Finance Committee met on November 13th. Finance presented the quarterly financial report for the third quarter of 2013. The results for the third quarter were favorable and in line with the 2013 revenue and expense estimates, including the 2014 tentative budget. We've had an increase in toll revenues. Truck traffic has increased by 3%, passenger traffic just under 1%. We've also, in the budget, we've had about $234 million in decrease in construction costs with projects being pushed back or low bidding on those projects. And Mike Kelsey is going to speak to this and present the quarterlies in this meeting also, so you get more detail with Mike. The committee also approved the renewal of the employee group health plan for the plan year that begins in March 2014, which open enrollment expected to occur in mid-January. Blue Cross Blue Shield has requested premium increases of about 5.6% for HMO plans. However, that includes 3.25% for the payment of the new fees and taxes required by the Affordable Care Act. Staff is also reviewing some changes to the dental plan and coverages for insulin, which will be reviewed with the board in this later today. I think we're going to have a presentation again on that.
We're going to put that to next month.
Okay, even better. Procurement had four items, an order against the CMS master contract for a one-time purchase of a monochrome production printer that will be utilized in the tollways mailroom for in-house printing. Also an award of three vendors for off-road equipment, which will be used by the roadway maintenance crew. An award of an additional year of a web-based project management system services with Meridian, which will allow for a smooth transition to the new e-builder system. Also, an award of 3 additional years of continued software maintenance and support of the Cronus time and attendance system. The system consists of ID badges, biometric terminals, and which will validate employee start and end times. Paul Kovacs presented, and we reviewed 6 construction contract awards, which were approved, 6 new professional service contracts, 2 change order on the construction contracts, 4 requests for final release of retainage, and 2 land act, which I believe we're going to discuss further in exec today.
Yes, I'm Director Peterson. I have one last minute adjustment. Item 7 was a professional service contract award that we wanted to move forward with, but we would like to defer that to December.
Item 7?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Legal, there were 3 intergovernmental agreements, 1 with the Department of Central Management Services. This will be a 1-year agreement to enable the tollway to continue receiving computer data storage and related maintenance services. There was 1 intergovernmental agreement. The second was approval of bond council assignments for the next new money issuance from the earlier established pools of 10 firms. These 3 assignments will have caused all 10 firms to have already received work in the Move Illinois program. The firms that are going to be working with bond council assignment are Mayor Brown as bond council, Pugh Jones as issuer's counsel, and Foley Lardner as recommended counsel for the underwriters. Approval of the investigative consulting firm, the tollway engaged in some ordinary course employment litigation, which requires some independent and expedited investigation of various complaints by a tollway employee, and that was approved. And that was it.
Thank you. For those who are unfamiliar with our work, I just want to explain that what Director Peterson just reported on was a very long meeting where they went through a lot of different items, millions and millions of dollars of purchases, and later the board will be voting on those. This is a way for him to report to the other board members who were not able to attend the committee meeting. Now we have Customer Service, Director Reddick.
Good morning. Customer Service Committee met last week on the 14th. On the agenda, we take a look at initially the 2-year look-back policy, which we've been discussing. Which, as you know, under current policy, we allow individuals to have up to 3 toll violations within 2 years before we kick back. We've been taking a look at that 2-year look-back. We conducted a survey of customers, and based on the information that we received, we're looking at decreasing that look-back period. After evaluating the numbers, the committee gave some direction to the staff to take a look at what the impacts would be on the financial bottom line from our perspective, our operating perspective, on decreasing that, as well as, which was the primary push for us, the impact on changing in behavior, which is what we're hoping to hopefully impact with any change that we might incorporate. We took a look at the opening of the call center, which, as you're well aware, occurred on November the 3rd, right?
Yes.
And that's the call center agreement that we've reached utilizing the center down at the University of Illinois Chicago in cooperation with Lighthouse. We've got more training going on, increasing staff, and so far the results have been nothing but positive, and we're really looking forward to that relationship. We reviewed the social media discussion, which we had at the previous committee meeting, and talked about the fact that we have made changes to our website that include the Twitter feeds that people can utilize to get up-to-date traffic information for our tollways. Then we took on the issue of the Linmar towing issue, which had been raised at both the June and September full board meetings, as you recall. The first thing that occurred was Jim Wagner reported, based on his investigation of the information that had been provided to the full board after his review of information and interviewing of witnesses that were there on site. He gave us information that there had been some. We've kind of gone back and forth on the fact that, based on his investigation, he determined that the trailer in question, or the vehicle in question, was on the shoulder, as alleged, but on the ramp, which created a little bit of a different safety issue, which is why the tollway staff got involved in that. The trailer itself had some structural issues, which came into play, and then reviewed the actions as it related to the protocol that we have in place, and the fact that an audit was conducted, as is normal course for any towing bill, and the result of that audit was a decrease in the towing bill to the customer from the vendor. There was also action taken against the vendor based on information that we received regarding allegations and their actions that were taken during this incident. Then John Benda came in and discussed with us and reviewed our actual current policy, the information that's in our policy. We talked about the fact that we made recommendations, and staff had actually put this forward, that we're going to go into a new recovery vendor pre-qualification program and taking a look at potentially increasing the number of vendors. Mr. Benda talked about the current protocol for inspecting that we engage in, inspecting drivers and equipment for the vendors that we use. We're taking a look at increasing the eligibility pool so that those contracts will be up on a regular incremental basis so that we're constantly engaging in this evaluation and reevaluation of our vendors and our protocol. Then taking a look at the agreements that we have in place. There was discussion about information that we want to put in there and utilizing best practices, including the use of credit cards for payment on site and things like that, all issues that were kind of born out of this incident. Mr. Benda is taking a look at it, and we expect him to come back to committee sometime after the first of the year, so we'll revisit this.
Thank you. Are there any questions on that? We really appreciate the staff work that went into doing the review and also coming forward with some new suggestions. My only additional comment is I just wanted to thank everybody for the budget hearings that were held. I was able to come to the one here, which as usual was done extremely well, and I did not get to the Hinsdale Oasis, but Director Reddick did, and he said that was well done too. So, and
Director Peterson was there.
Oh, I'm sorry, Director Peterson too. Good. So those were online, and people were permitted to submit questions if they wanted to or comments on the budget. So. I guess it's a good year when we don't have a lot of people coming in on the budget that suggests that we're doing okay. So thank you to the staff and Kristen for putting this together. That's all I had.
Sure. Great. My turn?
Your turn.
Okay. I'd like to just take a quick moment before we get into the main agenda item today to introduce a couple of new faces at the table. We have Stephanie Stevens, who's sitting in for Gustavo this morning, and Dave Donovan, who's sitting in for Jeff Redding. And they're both thrilled to be introduced, I know, and called out this way. But I just didn't want anybody to wonder who these people were sitting at the table with us. So thanks for joining us. Now I get to go up to the front of the room. I never get to do this. I don't know if there are folks who are going to join us. I know we're going to be talking a little bit about our art contest and announcing our art contest winners, which is one of our favorite things to do here every year. Just a little note to the directors. This year, you get to get your picture taken with the winners also. So when we break from the meeting, if you would join us out on the stairs, we're going to take a quick photo of our board members and the winners and finalists of our art contest. So. Last week, when the fluffy white stuff started falling a little bit, just a little bit, in the sky, it really signaled that we were coming into the time of year when we determine who our winner is going to be for the art contest, and also that we're coming to an end of our 2013 construction season. It's just the second year of our Move Illinois program, and we've done a lot of work and achieved already some significant milestones, including breaking ground on our $3.4 billion Elgin O'Hare Western Access Project. We opened the $59 million I-90 Illinois 47 interchange in Huntley, and we've been wrapping up the first phase of our Jane Addams $2.2 billion rebuild and widening project. Did I forget my clicker? I'm so sorry. In my enthusiasm to get up here, I forgot the... Forgot
I
the
would
clicker.
Like to give special prize to whoever thought of that.
So, in addition, we've had some other significant construction milestones and started some significant projects, including the 294-57 interchange project, and of course, all of the system-wide work and repair work that we've been doing. Next year, we're going to be doubling that effort. So, as part of the 2014 Illinois Tollway Map Cover Art Contest,
we're highlighting our $1.4 billion year of infrastructure improvement and investment on the tollway. That's a record for us. We received 65 very poignant designs from high school art students following this theme, work zone safety. I know that our state police are always thrilled to see that we're highlighting work zone safety, and we always like to because, of course, all those people out there, not only driving in our work zones but working in our work zones, deserve to be working and driving in a safe environment. The top 10 entries were ultimately displayed on our website and at each of the Tollway 7 oases for the public to view and vote on. Nearly 22,000 public votes were cast online. That's unbelievable. And the top four finalists were then reviewed by a panel of experts that included contest sponsors and the Tollway Board of Directors. So we want to thank them all the entrants for joining, and of course all the students who participated in the contest. I know they spent a great deal of time and used their talents and creativity to illustrate that work zone safety is more critical than ever for drivers and their families, as well as the men and women working on our job sites. I'd also like to thank our partners in this and the sponsors of the 2014 Tollway Map Cover Contest, U.S. Equities, and Blick Art Materials. I know we have some representatives here today, and I want to invite you to come up. Jacob, if you want to even just come over here. I'm just trying to use the microphone. I was directed to stand in front of the podium, but then I wouldn't be able to use the microphone. So I've broken my stage direction. Richard Jacobson from Blick Art Materials, which is in Highland Park, and they've sponsored now for a couple of years and have been great partners for us. We appreciate that very much. Cindy Odrobniak from U.S. Equities, who's a Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager. You know, this is one of the highlights of the things that you do every year. And David Miles, U.S. Equities Vice President. So U.S. Equities is the entity that manages and does such a great job for us, overseeing our oases out on the roadway, providing such a great place for our customers to stop and grab a bite to eat or use the restroom or whatever they need to do. So thank you very much for your partnership. And so now I'd like to talk a little bit about our grand prize winner and what they can expect. Our grand prize winner will not only have his or her artwork featured on the cover of our 2014 map, which is going to be distributed to more than 125,000 customers over the course of the year, but he or she is going to also join the rest of our finalists in receiving gift certificates from Blick Art Materials and from various Oasis tenants. So the grand prize winner will receive a $400 gift certificate from Blick Art Materials and $200 in gift certificates from U.S. Equities to use at Oasis retail shops and restaurants. Runners-up will receive a $200 gift certificate from Blick Art Materials and $100 in gift certificates from U.S. Equities. And additionally, all students who participated in the contest will receive a certificate of appreciation. All semifinalists will be featured in the 2013, I believe, annual report. So now let's meet our four finalists and learn who won our grand prize. So our third runner-up is Nathan Eisenhut from Downers Grove North. Nathan, here you go. Come on over. Thank you so much. You had a great entry. Yeah, thank you. Congratulations. Our second runner-up is Austin Rice from Lyons Township High School. Now it's down to the final two artists. Congratulations to both of you. And our first runner-up is Vlad Malinovich. Vlad is from Lyons Township High School as well in LaGrange. And that means that our 2014 winner is Crystal Thorns. So, So Crystal,